Imadagai Gimbai, Biripi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hi, welcome to King's Kids. I'm Heidi, and as we get closer to Christmas, Tony has some special Christmas memories to share with us.
With Christmas coming up very soon, today I want to share about families, the importance of spending time together as a family. And one of my very early Christmas memories of a family was when I was a child. My dad, back in them days, there weren't many motor vehicles. A lot of people couldn't afford motor vehicles, especially Aboriginal people. One of my aunties, she was the only one in the family that had a car. So Dad decided that we were going to have a big family Christmas, and it included not only our family, but my uncles, my aunties, and there was four families put together. There was the Dennisons, the Canes, the Greens, and the Saunderses. And my dad worked a full-time job on the railway, but he did a lot of farm work, tractor driving and gardening for a bloke, one of the local white fellas in town. He was quite well off. Dad approached him and asked him, could we borrow a tabletop truck? And in them days, there was no seatbelt laws or anything like that, you know. So I want you to just close your eyes and just picture this, you know, like there would have been 60-odd people, you know, families, all with little kids and everybody together. Dad, we had probably two cars, this big tabletop truck, and all the wives and the women in the family cooked all the meals, and we had roast turkeys, chicken, we had roast pork, roast beef, roast lamb, we had all the trimmings, you know, the salads and everything like that, and it was all put on the back of this truck. And, you know, 60 blackfellas hanging off the back of this truck. And we went out of town, and we found this beautiful little place out at the river, and the place was called Shagabee's Crossing. And we went out to Shagabee's Crossing, and we put out the picnic blankets and tarps and put everything set up underneath the trees right on the riverbank. And all the men got their fishing gear out, and they sat along the riverbank with their fishing lines dangling in the water, and all the kids were hunted up the other end to the shallows to swim, and they didn't have, like back in them days, you didn't have eskies like they do today and ice and that. So, you know, all the men that drank alcohol, they just put all their alcohol in the river, just put it in an old milk crate and just lowered it down into the water, and it soon got cold pretty quick. But then the families got together, you know, and then we put out all this food. And 60 people are getting together, you know. One of my uncles opened in prayer and thanked God for the food and everything like that. And we all sat around as a group, and we, you know, sang a few Christmas songs, and the kids were allowed to open their presents. It was just such a great time of family. And, you know, over the years, you miss those sort of things because a lot of people don't do it anymore. It seems to be too much trouble around Christmas time. And, you know, with Christmas coming up, you need to start thinking about not just about presents, not just thinking about how much money it's going to cost you to buy Christmas presents this year, and not about what am I going to get, putting demands on people, you know, dropping hints every time you see somebody what you want really want for Christmas. You know, it's about families. And while I'm talking about families, you know, God's family. And people, you know, we talk about Christmas. We need to take the mess out of it and think about Christ. We need to reflect on what Jesus has done for us. And he's done a lot for us. And, you know, over the years, we've decided in my family that we didn't put so much emphasis on the presents and that it's all about being family times and family together, getting together on Christmas, spending that time together. And, you know, you can do that. And especially at Christmas time, you know, what we've always done over the years was if we knew somebody that was going to spend Christmas on their own, we went out of our way to invite these people to come and have Christmas with us. Because these people are going to sit at home all day by themselves and not do anything. When you think about how many people might be alone at Christmas time, you know, about 3 years ago, I was involved in a Christmas on the beach, and one of the local churches would put it on. Me and my wife went down as a volunteer, and you know what, about 160 people came there that day just to have Christmas with somebody who otherwise wouldn't have had Christmas with anybody. And all these people turned up, and there was one family, actually saw it advertised in the Department of Housing, and they drove from Tamworth to Port Macquarie. The money they spent on petrol and accommodation, they could have had a really ubiquitous Christmas at home. But they wanted to be part of a family, part of a family atmosphere. And another thing I noticed about that day when we were serving the homeless and serving the people that were better off than other people that couldn't afford to have Christmas or didn't even have anyone to share Christmas with. There was all these people, and there was tourists, you know. We don't think about this, but there was people in this town of ours, you know, that were visiting, were backpackers and people on holidays, and they weren't going to be home for Christmas with their families. But what was so good was that they was able to come and join in. You know, they had a traditional Christmas lunch on the beach, and they had lots of volunteers. And so this Christmas, when you're starting to plan your Christmas, start planning to invite somebody to come along. Invite somebody that couldn't invite you back, to invite somebody along that's going to probably spend the Christmas on their own. And, you know, over the years, we've always made it a tradition in our family that if there was somebody that didn't have anyone to share Christmas with, we would invite them to come and have Christmas with us. And, you know, when you do something like that, it's a really good feeling. It's a really good feeling to be able to help somebody. And, you know, Christmas can be one of the loneliest times of the year, because people get so caught up in traditions and presents and the Christmas parties and the holiday spirit. And yet, you know, some people don't have anyone they can share that with. You can be in a church and you know people, you know their circumstances. Ask God, say, God, is there anybody that I know or somebody that I don't know that I can bless this Christmas? And you don't have to rush out and buy them a present. Just be nice to somebody. Take the time out of your day to say something nice to somebody. Just say, it's not about, have a Merry Christmas, mate. It's about being nice to somebody, saying, are you okay? Have you got somebody to spend Christmas with? Or even if you just ring somebody on Christmas Day. You know, I used to ring friends that I never see all year because their family and friends have moved away. And you know, Christmas morning, you'd spend the first hour after the kids open their presents up, just ringing people just to see how they are and just to touch base. You might not talk to them all year, but you ring somebody up and you just wish them a Merry Christmas. You have no idea how that makes somebody feels when you take the time out of your day on Christmas Day to ring somebody and just to say and touch base. You know, you need to just be able to do that. And you know, when somebody does something good for you, you know how good it makes you feel. Well, then try doing it for somebody else. But, you know, most of all, say to God, is there anyone I can help? You know, the best thing about it is your life is God's gift to you. And what you actually do with that life is your gift to God. So don't let God's gift to you be a waste. Make God's gift to you special by doing something special for somebody else this Christmas.
Decorated up for Christmas. All the stores are open late tonight. People hurry through the frozen streets. I take a walk. Every child has a thousand wishes. Every window has a thousand lights. Every soul has a need for peace. I take a walk. night, another TV special. Merchants counting down the shopping days, but something's missing underneath the tree. I take a walk, 'cause every heart longs for more than tinsel, something more than just a holiday. Come and celebrate the baby king. Let's take a walk. You don't have to travel anywhere. Faith and hope and love will bring you there. Bring you there. Take a walk. Take a walk through Bethlehem. Come and kneel, come and kneel before the Lamb. Good news for every man. Walk through Bethlehem. Take a walk. Take a walk through Bethlehem. Come and kneel before the Lamb. Good news for every man. Walk through Bethlehem. Take a walk. Take a walk through Bethlehem. Come and kneel.
Years ago, when I was in a small town called Musselbrook, we was going to the local Presbyterian church. And what I loved about that church was they really looked out for families. If somebody in the church was sick, they would come and cook meals. They would come and clean the house. They would do whatever they could. They would look after their kids or do anything. And the whole town was like that. Not only just the Presbyterian church, but the, you know, from the Pentecostal churches to the Baptist church, they all did the same thing. And I remember this particular Christmas that there was a family in the church and they didn't have anything. And they weren't going to have a Christmas at all because they just couldn't afford it. They were so dirt poor. And I remember saying to the wife, I said, look, we don't have a lot, but I want to share what we have. And so I said to God, who can I invite for Christmas? And God gave me this family. And then he gave me a young girl that was pregnant. She was a young teenager, having a problem with her family. She was living with a bloke. And he was turning nasty, getting violent. And so he didn't want her, the family didn't want her. And I said to the wife, well, we're going to invite her home for Christmas. We went out and bought presents. And so they just didn't come for a meal. We just bought them a cheap present, but something nice for their kids. And so we invited 2, 3, 4 people. We had this fantastic Christmas. And I remember Maddie and Nathaniel got a racing car set, and we put it together. And we all sat around the land room taking turns of playing with this racing car set. And this young girl that was pregnant, she didn't want to go home because her mum and dad didn't want her, and she couldn't go home to the boyfriend. So we made a decision like we have many, many times in our life as a couple. We decided to take people in. And so I said to this young girl, if you don't really want to go home, you can stay here for a while. And she did. She moved in with us. I went down to her flat and got her stuff and went and spoke to her parents and let them know that she was staying there with us. And she started to come to church with us. As a family, that's just a normal thing to do. And I know a lot of Aboriginal families do this sort of thing, but I know more so that the Christian family does it a lot. And that's what we need to present, because we're God's representatives in this world. And, you know, if we claim to be a Christian and we're mean and nasty and always shouting and rowing and being mean to people, well, that's not a good advertisement for God, is it? If you're not doing things that God wants you to do, like doing something nice for somebody, and if you drive around with a fish on your car and stickers saying you love Jesus, then you need to get rid of them. Take them off your car, because God doesn't need bad advertisement. I remember this pastor that I worked with in the church, and he used to have a sign saying, "Follow Jesus." And we was going to to another town to minister to these families. Once a week, we'd go to different towns, like in the area. And he got booked for speeding. The copper got out of the car and he walked up to him and he said, "That sign on the back of your car where it says, 'Follow Jesus,' he said, 'the way you've been driving,' he said, Jesus wouldn't be able to keep up with you." So he said, you really need to think about the stickers you put on your car, mate. He said, "Oh, but I'm a reverend, you know." And, you know, with all his speeding and everything else, you know, I always said to him one day, "You're going to be late for a funeral," because he was always dragging the chain. And we actually was late for a funeral because I kept saying, let's go. And he said, no, we've got plenty of time. But he took a wrong turn. Anyway, we finished up being late for a funeral. I've spent more time with God in these last couple of weeks just praying, asking God for opportunities to do things. And, you know, I went to a youth group last week, and a little girl came up to me and she hugged me and kissed me. And she said to me, she said, "I love you, Santa." Because see, last year I was Santa, and the year before. And I said, "Don't tell anybody I'm Santa. You know, there's new kids here." And then last night I went over to my daughter's to pick up some fried rice. And my 7-year-old granddaughter looked at me and she said, "Poppy, you need a shave." And I said, "Yeah, I know." Then all of a sudden her little face lit up like a Christmas tree and the lights came on. She said, "You're going to be Santa again, aren't you?" She said, "You're just going to be Santa." And you know what? If you try this as a Christian, try doing something for somebody else. Try and make somebody's day. Try and make somebody else happy. And you'll be greatly rewarded. You know, I was thinking this year not to be Santa. I didn't want to be Santa this year, but how can you say no to little kids? I know I'm getting ready. I'm growing a beard. I'm getting excited that I want to do something for God. And if that's my way of doing something this year, is making a lot of little kids happy because they're going to see a black Santa. How cool is that? And I remember doing it last year, and it was so much fun doing something for God. And you can do something for God every day. It doesn't have to be going to church. It doesn't have to be reading your Bible. It can be reaching out and touching somebody in the community. And it's great to have friends. And I've got good friends, especially amongst our staff, especially those in King's Kids, that you're going to be able to talk to them about your problems. You can go and talk to them about anything else. And it was just great spending time yesterday with Heidi. We had a bit of prayer for King's Kids. You know, we wrote a letter. We wrote a love letter from me and God to somebody. But you can write to anybody. And I encourage you to write to people and do something for somebody. Ring them up. Tell them God cares. And if you've got family and friends that you haven't seen for a while, pick up the phone. They're only a phone call away. And ring them and talk to them. And just let them know that you love them and God loves them too.
Everybody's got a song. Everyone's a little different. We've all gone wrong. Then the Savior came and he took the blame, changed everything. Then the Savior came and he took the blame, changed everything.
chains on me, 'cause the Savior came and he took the blame, changed everything. Yeah, the Savior came and he took the blame, changed everything.
Was Lenny LeBlanc with Love Came Down. Just before we close today, Tony has one more story to tell.
Yesterday I was visiting my family and my daughter told me, she said, "Dad, you want to hear something funny?" She said, "Dad, Max sees you got a beard. He knows there's something up." And his older sister, she's 7, she sat him down and she said, "Max, you know, your Christmas party's coming up at the preschool next week." She said, "Because Poppy has helped Santa out in the past, Santa sent Poppy a text message asking Poppy, can he fill in at your preschool next week? Can he help out? Because Santa's busy at the North Pole. He can't get away because it's too close to Christmas. So when you go there next week, you're going to get a special treat because Poppy's actually helping Santa out. And he's going to do a great job for Santa." Kids and Christmas go hand in hand. When you think a 7-year-old girl would go to that much trouble to tell her little baby brother that Santa's asked Poppy to help out. See, because last year, when I did it last year, my granddaughter had no idea it was Poppy. And she was 3 years old as well, or 2 years old as well, until her mother said, "Stop hanging around Poppy, stop annoying Poppy." And then she just wouldn't leave Poppy alone. She wanted more presents, she wanted this, she wanted that. Kids are so funny at Christmas time because they can't wait to get up and open their presents. Really think about and what you're doing this Christmas. Is it all about presents? Some families spend a lot of money on presents. They just can't help themselves. They go overboard. I know families that are setting a $100 limit on presents this year. And other families, you know, won't even have money to buy presents. So if you know somebody and they've got little children and you know they're going to struggle to put something under the Christmas tree this year for their children, then if you can afford it, why don't you do something for them? Why don't you put your hand in your pocket and just go and buy a $5 toy or a $10 toy? It doesn't have to be big and expensive, but it comes from the heart. That's what matters. You call yourself a Christian, you go to church. There must be people in your church. I know the churches that I go to sometimes, people can't afford to feed themselves. People can't afford to put presents under the tree at Christmas time. Your reward will be given to you by God. You can't lose it. If you do it with a right heart and attitude, why don't you do something this year? When you go shopping this week and the weeks leading up to Christmas, just buy one little present. And when you get that, wrap it up and then give it to a family to put under the tree.
John Bunyan, the writer of Pilgrim's Progress, once said, "You have not lived today unless you have done something for someone who can never repay you." Thanks for being with us today. Another song we heard in today's program was Tricia Yearwood, Take a Walk Through Bethlehem. If you would like to talk to Tony about anything you've heard on today's program, you can ring him on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. This is Heidi signing off, and Tony and I hope you can join us next week for King's Kids.